Hello, everybody. How's it all going? This is me, Mudahar. Welcome back to the 10th episode of the Some Ordinary Podcast. Me and my beautiful co-hosts, Nuxtaku and Oompaville. Oh. And also, we've got... Oh, wait, sorry. Go ahead. I was about to introduce our fourth guest, but...
No, I was just saying, yo, like a hello, people, I am here. And now you continue. We've got the intro down to a science at this point.
Well, you can't just go, yo, and Nux is over there... Oompa's sitting over there doing nothing.
He
Oompa.
Said yo, and he's
I'm
like,
speaking with my hands.
He's very zen, okay?
Oompa's we have a guest today, Nerd City.
Yeah! Woo!
That's the best part about
us. Nux, my intros all the time. That was great.
Yeah, that was flawless.
Listen, people watching, what do you think this is, the Joe Rogan experience? We're not that up there. We're not that big and famous yet, okay? Come on now. That's a proper planned episode. So planned that they just removed like 70 of their episodes off Spotify.
Although
so
Spotify, if you want to replace Joe Rogan, I mean,
I mean, I think he's going to get replaced. I saw this up-and-coming site known as Rumble putting up $100 million for Joe Rogan. I want to see that bluff play out.
Really?
Spotify pays us $100 million. I'd move to Spotify.
$100 million, bro. He probably can't even leave his contract for one. He's probably like... It's probably very strict. I would assume it's extremely strict.
Did Rumble really put up $100 million?
Yeah. They have Dude, they got their CEO straight up tweeting it out. I mean, I'm just saying, if like the CEO tweets it out, like that means it's pretty real, right? Like,
yeah.
But they probably got back channel money. Look, it's either he goes to Rumble or he goes to Storyfire. So, I mean, hey, he's got to fix it. I wanted to start it off this week. Like, so obviously, you know, Nerd, you made your JStation video after like 2 years. Part one, by the way. So total banger so far.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's one of those things where like it's a really good video, but it's also a really shitty video because you made me watch JStation unironically more than I really wanted to. But
right. That's the challenge of a video like that. Like when you're dealing with content that, your own viewers would not want to watch for more than a few seconds. You have to try to find ways to like contextualize it or show it in a way where you set it up to where they will have the patience to get through it, because his content really is like abrasive, you know?
Oh yeah.
That 100%. One sequence, a lot of people are like, was that all from one video? Like when we were trying to show the repetition of the phrases that he uses, and yeah, like, and Muda, you've done a number of JStation videos in the past. You've watched one all the way through. You're familiar with, like, you're probably one of only 10 adults in the world that have watched one video all the way through. So you're familiar with how repetitive the words are that he uses, right? You know, like,
what the hell?
Yeah.
What the hell, man?
The mannerisms, guys. Dude, like the way that he screams into the camera, everything. It's like, you know, the thing is, like, all the people that Jay's inspired, like all the clones for the station, they all speak and behave in the same way. Like, they all come from the same factory.
Scarce was interviewing Alexia and he pointed out, he's like, you do realize that even though you're kind of like exposing him right now, you're still talking like him. Like, and she's like, I guess you're right. He kind of rubs off on you. He's like, because you sound really unrealistic. You're kind of saying like, and then he removed my own video. Like, she picked up that weird. That's the thing is like,
I feel like
it's like a mind virus. When you hear that, the inflection that he uses, you start to imitate it a little bit, like because you can't help but, you know, mock it. And then as you learn to mock it, it just becomes like one of the ways that you know how to talk. So it's like when you learn like a bad dance, ironically, and then music comes on and you just start doing that unironically.
I don't know. I think it's like a YouTuber inflection. A lot of YouTubers do it, even not to that extent, obviously. Like when he speaks, it's like he's talking to someone that's brain dead. But like a lot of people do the number 15, Burger King foot lettuce. You know, like a lot of people do
it's
that.
What it kind of does is it gets you out of a jam. Like when you don't really know what to say, if you know the inflection and the rhythm of where the period is going to come, it kind of just like fixes anything. Right. So I could be like, you know, I'm talking to Muda on the dark web, guys. You know, and then it gives you time to like think of something else to say because you're dragging on guys.
But that's like, it's like, dude, that's what you gotta fucking. editing program for. That's the one thing that I feel like a lot of it just comes down to the fact that maybe we're out of touch, because like we don't cater necessarily to the mainstream. Because when I watch like, you know, Nux video, it's like, oh, he's very much in his niche. I'm in my niche. Like Oompa's in his niche. You're in your niche. Like we're not catering to like the generic viewer that's jumping into YouTube, you know? Like, I guess what's like the most algo friendly content, because even when Jay was like uploading his videos, dude, he was so algorithmically friendly. Like, you watch one of his videos, YouTube's like, here's fucking 30 more, continue consuming this content.
I love that. I love that graphic you've assembled there. That's awesome. Inside a thumbnail.
Thank you.
It's on brand.
I always feel like the 3 a.m. shit that he would make was like, so is it just like the only way his channel really succeeded was because he had all the tags in like dark web, Sonic, 3 a.m., Ouija board, like fucking, like, was that it?
I think he had a loyal audience for just, you know, mouth breathing.
That's a good question. Like, no, I'm not really sure why it succeeded. I don't think that he knew why either. He seemed to believe that that starting a controversy to get attention was the smartest thing for him to do to grow. But if you really look at some of the channels that he was copying, and the channels that would copy him, because there was like a sort of like snake eating its own tail amongst those content creators, like he copied his videos from other people, but then when his would pop off, there were other people that would just copy him. So when he said people were stealing from him, sometimes that was true, but he stole everything he did, and they
I don't know, man.
None of those people are creators that you're familiar with, because they didn't have scandals, they didn't try to like make national news. And they have like 3 million subscribers. So I think, yeah.
Like Life of Luxury and...
But people do that in every genre, though. Like every single genre is all about yoinking and twisting, okay? Like prank channels did the same thing. There was like the Vitaly versus FoozyTube thing, like back in the day, where they were stealing each other's ideas, and then they all made videos exposing each other for making fake pranks, which,
you know,
ended up just
exposing
themselves.
It seems to be worse amongst the type of content creators that are making something based off of a trend, and it's not really like a personal interest. They're not really passionate about the project. Mm-hmm. They are fake. They are faking something. Those are the ones who are more likely to. It seems like that's where the plagiarism happens the worst, because they don't really care about being called out or having, like, if they had a viewer that was like, wait a minute, I saw this video before. Like, I mean, that to me would be humiliating if I was like stealing an entire script or shot for shot from someone else, and somebody found that. I mean, that's like a fucking nightmare. That'd be like getting caught like cheating on the SATs or something, you know?
Well, I'm not gonna
like game over. But for them, they were just kind of like, yeah, whatever. No, he stole from me, so it doesn't matter. You know, they don't seem to care.
It's like Kermit the Frog and the gay potion. Gay potion. You know? It's like everyone's just chugging gay potions, so it doesn't matter. Like, who cares about copying that?
Did Nux just drop from the call a little bit?
No, I'm still here.
I'm still here. He's still in here. He's like,
okay. I don't know what happened.
All right, there we go.
He died last time.
This is Ozan.
Yeah, I agree though. That's really interesting, because he's I'm assuming you were filming the video the majority of like your when you were watching his content, obviously was done before his channel was.
Here's the thing
deleted,
that
right?
I
is
think
his
a lot
still
of
deleted?
People
yeah, it's gone. Yeah,
describe properly when he was banned. All that he was all that really happened were two of his, I think, like 12 channels. I put it on screen, a graphic of all of the channels that he still has active. There's still the majority of them. So it's like 10 out of 12 are still there. So what all that happened was two of his most popular, like it was like 12. Two of the top six channels were deleted all at once. And including the ones that he like had monetized. And to him, that's like the main thing, because he's not just trying to make content and share it with the world. Like, I mean, the amount of videos that I have monetized by YouTube, I think it's like under 50%. Like, I just make a video, and if I get monetized, it's like, you know, the cherry on top. Great. Hey, maybe we'll make some money. But if it doesn't get monetized, I just put it up. You know, I said it live. That happened on this one. I had no idea whether it would be monetizable or not. The parody in the beginning got claimed by a rights holder group, so they're making the money, and it's like, whatever, set it live.
It was really good, by the way. I've watched it twice now because I think the actual like aesthetic and like the, I'm not even sure if it would be technically cinematography because it's like static shots, but it's really good. It's really good.
I
really
like the video a lot. And I showed it to my editor. Digression. Yeah. I didn't finish the point I was making. So two of his 10 channels, and I forget because they're not in front of me. It might be more than 10. Two of them got banned. Yeah, two of them got deleted. And he was no more banned than he already was. Muda, you probably remember, he was banned on his... He was banned from the partner program.
He was banned because of because you used to like
exactly
so, do the 24-hour challenges, and YouTube didn't like that. He had one channel that had like the last video was like apparently he got in trouble with the feds.
Yeah,
or something.
So
like
prior to him, the title was really weird. What he might have done is snuck across the border without going through. I'm not sure about that. I can't speak to that definitively. But he was. Oh, I think because he filmed a 24-hour challenge in a prison, like after, and so like local law enforcement might have wanted to talk to him about whether or not he had had permission to do that overnight. But ironically, he got in trouble in Canada for not faking his videos initially. So when the 24-hour challenge was a trend, he stayed in businesses overnight and did not fake it. Like he basically trespassed into a mall and into a stadium complex. I'm trying to think what the other one was. He did a Dairy Queen with permission, a tire shop. He did a number of different businesses and didn't arrange with the owners or anybody to be. Oh, he also filmed in a house where he appeared to climb into through a window. So the police wanted to speak to him about that, and he ended up having charges come from it. So he got in trouble with local law enforcement. He had, I think it was 5 total counts of trespassing, because they investigated it and they found what started to confuse them was like whether the trespassing was legitimate or whether he was faking it. So he did fake it in a number of cases, but then in other times he really did commit a breaking and entering. trespass. So
one of his biggest crimes was like fucking not actually faking what he should have faked.
So he was ban evading on every channel since then, which is when most of us heard of him for the first time, because I didn't hear about him. That was like a local, incident really in it was either like Toronto or Montreal. I forget, because he moved cities.
So I think he's from Ottawa. Because he used to be an Ottawa guy.
That's
like,
right.
That's where he was. And then he moved to Toronto way later. Because the only way that I knew he was from Toronto is like I watched some of his videos and I was like, oh, I go down that highway every day. Wow. Okay. So he's in my city. Cool. And then that's where he kind of like proved it. But the thing about it, his content necessarily would like. So recently he's been on this whole thing. Like I've been banned unfairly. And I was like, I don't know if you. I don't know if
he was banned. If
you're banned
right.
once
like,
off YouTube,
so he
you're
was
banned
doing
forever.
What he
like,
picked up from unless you, the lore of Keemstar, which is you know Keemstar had. We don't have to go into his backstory too much, but like Keemstar had started like essentially an MCN prior to MCNs existing, and YouTube didn't like that, and they banned him because that was like against their policies at the time, and he came up with a loophole essentially where he was the host of a channel, like he was the hired host of a channel owned by someone else. And that was how he was able to run Drama Alert again. And I think Keemstar got, that situation happened in a cycle something like half a dozen times and Keem just never gave up. So that influenced JStation. He literally credits that in a video. He says, I'm doing what Keemstar figured out how to do. So Keemstar and JStation sort of are intertwined, probably more than they'd like to be, all the way back to the earliest. Like JStation was begging Keemstar for a shout out when he didn't yet have 2,000 subscribers. I mean, I think he had like 800 subs or something very small. And he recorded a video called, and I think this is still online. It's called Keemstar is the greatest YouTuber ever. And And he's walking around with a megaphone in public saying, fuck? Keemstar is the greatest YouTuber ever. And just like bothering the public.
I found it. I found the video.
Oh my god.
No. Wait, I'm setting it in here. I'm putting, guys, one of you guys share this? Because I don't know if I can share that clip with the audio. It's in the chat for the fucking Riverside. No way. Okay,
Keemstar openly lobbied for him to be deplatformed after the Suicide Forest section of his career. Because like I was saying earlier, JStations came to believe that scandals were the main way that he was going to grow his channel. And honestly, I don't think that that helped him really in any considerable way, because his audience was not people who found him through a scandal. His audience was children who found him through his titles and through
Sonic the Hedgehog,
similar content,
Dark Web,
you know,
3 a.m.
The recommended
creativity.
It's insane how like fuck you. It's insane how like a lot of these channels succeeded doing that though. Like I have to say that JStation faced more success than like any of us on YouTube will ever probably face like in his entire career, based on like I don't think he ever had a video demonetized. I mean, I'll be fucking 100% real. And all of his videos, they bank like crazy. Like if you look at his viewer counts, it's like the only one that I think I could even compare it to would probably be like Charlie, you know, like in terms of him being a daily uploader and like every video succeeds really well. But like even then, it's like JStation was still destroying fucking, you know, Charlie and everything in terms of like how friendly he would be in the algorithm and everything, and like how much, like in terms of viewership, he was dominating and beating everyone. So it's like he succeeded on YouTube, but it's like the controversy killed him.
I don't think this is too much of a reveal that it'll ruin the video, but one of the things that we get into is he figured out that if he threatened his audience to engage with the video, if he told them to, were my tweets coming on screen there?
I love this.
Okay, yeah, I keep getting like notifications that pop up. All right.
You're good.
Oh, so he figured out that if he threatened his audience to like, to share the video, to make a video talking about his video, to leave a comment. He found a lot of different, very manipulative ways to get engagement on his videos. Now, that had diminishing returns in the algorithm. Like, you know, as people started to figure out, that likes were good for a video, everybody started, like, all the trashiest creators started asking the viewers up front to press before they'd seen the video. I'm sure you all remember that trend where people would be like, guys, before we get started.
Well, yeah, in the first 20, 30 seconds, it's like, make sure you hit the like. And it worked because, like, you click on his videos, 20, 30,000 likes.
I would say that type of engagement at that point in time helped him more than trying to get on the news for, you know, pissing off local law enforcement or residents or whatever.
Well, if anything, yeah.
You don't understand. JStation was Elon Musk's sleeper agent. He's gathering all of the kids.
Nuts, you're roboting a little bit. Could you say that again?
And he's, am I cutting out? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little bit.
Yeah, we can't hear you.
No! This is so sad.
He just said,
He's a sleeper agent for Elon Musk. He's prepping all these kids.
I think Elon's
figuring out. Okay,
dude, I think you're trying to say Gary V, bro. What the hell? That's the one weird tweet that we had comparisons to. What the fuck?
No, but sleeper agent. I don't get this.
Whatever Nux is trying to say is the truth, and they don't want us.
That's
to
true,
hear
dude.
It.
Yeah. No, but like, dude.
Why can't you hear me?
He's got that Israeli connection that's fucking destroying him.
Got the Jerusalem net.
I'm trying.
He's trying to make it out of Israel.
Dude,
right
I
now.
Streamed for 3 hours yesterday and it was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many of those frames could the audience see though?
All two of them.
But like the thing about like this fucking dumbass and his content is like, you're right. The only thing that fucked him over was like making controversy. If he never faked the death or did anything like that, he would have been just fine. If he never started buying slaves off the dark web, no one would even bat an eye. Like, you listen, if you're like chugging a gay potion and fucking Kermit in the ass, no one cared. Yeah. Like, that was funny.
There's the channel. Shit, I always forget their name. Arcade Craniacs. Yes, exactly. Like that, Edward and his ex-girlfriend. I'm not exactly sure of the situation, but they made those videos, and it was like in a obviously kind of self-aware way. Some of them were kind of, you know, just like a little bit too wacky, but generally speaking, they did it in a way that people memed, and then they had like a very a positive following, even on like I don't really want to use this as an example of like positivity or negativity on the internet, but Reddit like them quite a bit. Which is a good thing or a bad thing, I'm not exactly sure.
I like Reddit. At least I liked it a little bit more in the past. That's sort of where I made my bones. I came from Reddit, really, and as far as the channel, I hit like the front page of our videos something like six times out of the first eight serious attempts at a video. When people like you know, suggest that I don't know, if I like respond to criticism or something and I don't do it in like the most perfectly gracious way, they'll be like, oh, he doesn't like it when you disagree with him. But like, bro, I came from fucking Reddit. So when you make the front page of Reddit through our videos, no matter what your content contains, the comments in that thread are so fucking, I mean,
you're getting
way crueler than anything that happens on YouTube. I mean, people are like commenting on the structure of the bones in your face. They're telling you your voice sucks. They're saying, you know, like but they're not just saying that. They're writing like a 12,000 words to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
So like, getting up, you don't just read a passerby troll. You're reading like a Yelp review of someone who's trying to get under your skin. So I definitely, that was like wiping me down in gasoline for 2 years. And YouTube has been like nothing compared to that kind of fucking shit.
Yeah, the YouTube comment section does not give a fuck. Reddit is where I first found out about Nux, actually. Like, surprisingly, it's the you're the only YouTuber I've ever known, like, fucking, aside from me, show up on Reddit, because, like, I saw you on Reddit, and then I'm always on r/shitposting.
Wait, yeah. How was I on Reddit? Was I on Reddit because people hate me, or was I on Reddit because I'm funny?
I think it was somebody, like, it was Reddit, so they hated you, let's be honest. They hated like, let's be real.
back to that point about JStation generating controversies, I remembered something, because you brought up the gay potion video. One of the things that Clown and I discovered was that he was plagiarizing even his controversies. So when he saw that, do you recall when Logan Paul?
Genius! Oh my god!
Wait,
how smart! He's like, this guy had a controversy and failed. I'm going to have a controversy, but this time, I know what not to say.
These guys tried saving the kids and scammed. I'm going to save the kids and scam even harder.
He would have done that. If he was active, I think he would have tried to do a save the kids coin. Honestly, I haven't thought about that until you said that, but I'll bet you he would have tried to plagiarize a scam crypto coin. He totally would have done that.
He's the type of guy... He would make like a scam crypto coin and then admit he was scamming his audience and not care.
He probably would have called that kill the
except
kids.
For JStation.
Kill the kids.
Yeah. So that controversy related to the gay potion, what JStation was plagiarizing there was, do you recall when Logan Paul one of Logan Paul's controversies was he said that he was going to go gay for a month?
Yes. I remember that.
So he just he took that idea and he mixed it up with his potions and his dark web premise that he already had, and just pretended to be gay because he saw that that worked for Logan and he wanted to do that himself.
Damn, dude, that gay potion thing was funny because his like the people that worked for him, the one that you interviewed, he was like, I didn't want to drink the gay potion. I didn't want to drink
it. Yeah, I was 17 at the time. I didn't want to drink it.
I'm so glad, I'm so glad that Wang noticed that and thought that was funny because, like, to me, now, I don't think that JStation is ever funny intentionally. I want to be clear about that. I think that he's funny from a lack of self-awareness. And
I agree
every once in a while, like, there'll be a funny frame or just something where it's so unbelievably unself-aware, as Clown will put it, that you're just like, I can't believe he doesn't see this the way other people will be perceiving this. So that was yes. very funny. And
well, I always found it funny, like, despite all of that, I feel like he always had some idea, though. Like, when I watched his, like, deep web slave buying video, dude, there's no way. This motherfucker made the slave look like he just got done picking cotton for the day.
Right. He made him barefoot. He had him dressed up in an old-timey slave outfit.
He
didn't do that for comedy.
He was doing that because he was trying to push buttons. He was like, what are the stereotypes?
He did it for fucking accuracy, dude.
When he had,
he's an artist.
Having Santa Claus, like Black Santa Claus came over. Do you guys remember that one? It was called something like Calling Black Santa at 3 a.m. And he hired an actor from Craigslist to come in and he dressed up in a Santa Claus outfit. And just like yell at them and demand fried chicken and watermelon, I think. Asking for items.
What?
Yeah, he was asking for like stereotypical items that he knew offend people if you associate it with African Americans. And that's what he had this guy saying. And, you know, I think his defense was, well, he's saying it, and he's black, so it's not, you know, it's not me. That's not...
It's okay, yeah.
Holy shit. This is a collaboration video. It's like Stromedy and like all these other fucking 3 a.m. goons. They're looking literally at the homepage for KFC right now.
Yeah.
What the fuck? This is hilarious.
I mean, it is kind of genius in a really, like, a fucked up marketing way when you think about plagiarizing a controversy, you know?
Yeah, that really is an interesting... like just in general concept. I wonder how like common that is. It's probably pretty common if JStation can do it.
When you're willing to get any kind of attention, including negative attention, like think about who comes to mind when you think about that. I think like Jake Paul, Tana Mongeau, people like that, where every day they're at least attempting to do something that will piss some people outside of their audience off.
Hassan plagiarizes his own controversies. He's like, wait a second.
How did Hassan plagiarize his own?
This.
What
oh,
did he
my
do?
Now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, the thing with Hassan, though, is like, fucking, this is the one thing. Like, okay, buying your house in West Hollywood for $2 million, whatever, cool. You knew what you were doing. You're buying a $200,000 fucking car. What the fuck?
Though.
I was like, damn.
I think Hassan should fight Sam Hyde. I want to see that. That would be a pretty interesting fight.
I would love to fucking see that shit, though.
That'd be fucking awesome.
Sam's call-out video of Hassan is probably the best boxing-related call-out video ever. It's so funny. Like, he pushes his buttons in all the right ways, you know, where he's like, you just bought a massive house, $3 million house. He's like, you're a money man. You want that money. And what he's doing there is, you know, like, he's correct. Hassan does want that money, and it's not an insignificant amount to him, but also that is, you know, that's not something that Hassan, due to his, like, you know, political leanings, is completely comfortable navigating, because there is some cutoff. I mean, like, he does wear shirts that say eat the rich and stuff, you know? So, like, it's a tricky topic for him.
Sam Hyde, an empath, realizing that Hassan likes money.
No, but like, But like that is a solid call out video. Like, I mean, you know, it's fucking he's a money man. He wants the money. Go for it. I would kill to fucking see that shit. But
yeah, same.
Yeah, I don't know, man. With the $200,000 car though, like fucking when I saw that the other day, I'm like, I think what really burned me was like, man, he's really parking in the handicap spot. Jesus Christ, dude, his son gives no. He's trying to find the best way to get canceled.
I saw that because our buddy, like, Young Crip posted that, and he was like, Hassan has just earned the right to fuck around and find out.
And, like, dude, that was fucking funny, dude.
Yeah, it was a great tweet. And somebody underneath was like, that picture was taken at the dealership as the car was being pulled up for him to leave, so this is misleading. So maybe that's true. I don't know, but I did read that in the replies.
I mean, I was just going to go sit there and be like, oh, he's parking in the handicap spot. Oh, he's a socialist. Okay, it makes sense. Cool. You know,
To be fair, they did park when I bought my most recent vehicle. I bought it. It was in the handicap spot as well, and I moved it before I took a photo specifically because I was like, I think this is incriminating. I don't want to.
No, I'm gonna do that because I'm picking up. I'm picking up my car on Wednesday, so I'm gonna fucking do that. I'm gonna take a photo of it in the handicap spot.
Bro, and when people call out and be like, I'm Indian, what do you want me to say? Okay, shit. The handicap spot is because he likes getting tickets so he can fund the police. The big thing.
Hassan should fucking come to where I like. I go to my so every day I go to my friend's like fucking place for the weekend. Every fucking weekend I get a goddamn ticket at this fucking place. There's an overzealous fucking parking enforcement officer that will show up and drop a fucking fine ticket on my vehicle, and I always bring it up. I'm like, all right, that's another $40 out of the fucking account right there. Fuck this city. Fuck everything about it.
But, so yeah. Like Muda, maybe Hassan there's something interesting to say if we circle back to J Station and the like because you. A video that he sent you was featured in our video at the beginning.
Oh yeah,
in the section we were discussing the way that he tries to threaten and intimidate his critics behind the scenes. It featured one of the people that he tried to shut down and scare with a violent threat was you.
Oh yeah, I was surprised. I was like, "What the fuck? This guy just made my whole legal case way easy." I'm like. The moment he sent that to me, and I told you this, I'm like, he sent me that, like, unhinged fucking rant. It was the day that he got banned, and I was like, oh, I have no sympathy. I'm like, you ban evaded. It's going to happen. He, like, sends me that shit, and he's so vain, because the first thing he's like, he's talking about, like, money halfway into it. I'm like, what the fuck are you on about? Like, what is going on? And he's like, I'm going to knock your teeth out or some shit. I'm going to fuck you up. And he's, like, shirtless. I'm like, this guy's on drugs
unhinged,
or something.
In bed.
And the moment he sent that.
Usually doesn't record himself without a hat on. You know, he was completely bald-headed, in bed, shirtless, just threatening you in a DM. Mm-hmm.
empty bottles of gay potion laying around him.
The guy was just like, yeah. He was like, he was getting turned on or something, maybe. But like the moment he sent that to me, I was like I had to laugh a little bit, and then like I'm in my fucking car laughing, all right, like a fucking dumbass. Like people are just looking at me. It's like, what's going on with him? And immediately I send that over. I'm like, I emailed it to my lawyer. I'm like, bro, I got the funniest shit for you to have. If I die, like if I get killed or something, I want you to play this because this is the funniest shit I've ever seen.
Yeah, because you were in the same city with him at that time, or at least he believed that, right?
Yeah, well, I think we were, because if it's Toronto's Toronto, like we were there, but like he was just like, I'm gonna figure out where you live or something. I'm like,
I'll do it today, bro.
Yeah, I'm like, it's probably not that hard for you to figure out where I live, but then at the same time, I'm like,
that's really
like,
creepy.
Do you really want to come to my house, though? Like, I mean, we kind of like.
When I think about that type of attempt to intimidate me, I mean, I guess I shouldn't speak too much to the laws on that. But what I think about is that Sam Hyde video where he is, the way that he phrases what he's saying is he's like, if you put me in a self-defense type situation. And I'm afraid for my life. He's like, here's what I'll do. And then he like beats the shit out of the bag in the gym. And what he's talking about is Lena Dunham. So he's like, if Lena Dunham puts me in a self-defense type fit.
I fucking love that video.
I'm actually
glad
you mentioned that, Tara. If you want to cut out the part where I said I'll use the castle doctrine, that'd be great, actually. No. Yeah, I will call the law enforcement like God intended. I will call 911.
This man will abuse his mom.
I will not.
Yeah.
I have a really long gun. It's got somebody's name on it.
That's why I paused for a second and thought after I started to say that. I'm like, you know what? I better be careful as I promise to commit a crime. Mm. But, you know, I...
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I would never do anything like that, Tara. You know that. You get. Yeah. No, it's. But like going back to his threatening though, like the threatening shit. I was really surprised that he was threatening me. Like maybe threatening a child, like you might have, like or potentially could have, might have made sense. Like somebody that's like mentally, like you know, they're immature. But like, why the hell would you threaten like an actual grown up adult?
What the fuck?
You think like what? Think I'm actually going to be scared?
What that makes me wonder is how many times has that happened, and we'll never know about it. You know, like some people saw that I had a back and forth. No, I didn't even have a back and forth with him. I didn't because I didn't even reply. But he started tweeting at me, and some people saw that and started DMing me and saying, "Hey, I actually made this video about him, and I'm a small channel. I only have like 30 subscribers. The video I made on him had 60 views, and he threatened me in DMs that he was going to pull up on my parents' house and like shoot it up or something." And so it's like, if he was willing to do that to a teenage YouTuber and a successful YouTuber like yourself with several million subscribers, how many people outside of his sphere of influence, like his, because there were associates of his that he's had a falling out with that talked with us just to say, like, look, I'd like to speak with you, but I just really don't want the trouble because he's threatened to harm me and my family. And it's like, fair enough, you know, if you don't want to. If you,
doesn't
you just
he know
kinda
that
want to
that
let
legally
sleeping dogs
can fuck
lie,
him up,
but
though?
They,
like, dude, I honestly, this man's, he has like the mind of a child. Like, it's crazy.
He has the mind of a criminal. He has the mind of someone who.
Well, that too.
Who,
the biggest surprise to me in your video was like, you painted a really good picture that he's actually like a Satanist. Like, that was really scary.
That was a surprise.
I thought he was making that
me.
All
so,
up.
Like,
But when I watched that and I was like, wait, like, this guy always talks about, you know, like, selling my soul to the Satan so that I can get, like, a gay potion and all that crap. Like, I thought he was just, like, making content.
I think you
really painted it in a way that I'm at this point really unsure if he genuinely, like, every time the algorithm dips for him, he'll, like, make this little ritual shit, like, light some candles in a pentagram and be like, okay, Satan, get my channel back.
That wasn't something that I was initially aware of. And, what should I say? If you were thinking that perhaps we sensationalized that because it's an interesting detail and, you know, potentially a headline like, oh, Jay Station worships the devil or something like that. He came out in an interview yesterday and confirmed that he, in fact, did sell his soul for fame and fortune prior to starting YouTube in a ritual, and that he believes that it might actually come due and he'll be eternally damned.
What the fuck?
So this is why I felt like it was the reason that Clown and I discussed this quite a bit. We're like, all right, this gets into the realm of spirituality and religion, and this is going to be a divisive.
The Satanists
because,
in your audience,
you know,
are
going to
be like, nah,
he ain't
making
of...
fun of Jay Station for this.
The Satanists have disowned him. Like, they've been in the comments and they're like, we don't claim him. We want nothing to do with him.
Imagine fucking pissing off the Satanist community where they're like, we have to make a proper fucking response.
I should make a distinction. There is a difference between... Now, the devil himself told me this. He goes, there's a distinction between a demon worshiper and a Satanist. He goes, those are very different types of people and they're different beliefs. I didn't know that. So when he told me that, we altered the language to make sure that we specified that what Jay Station was doing was demon worship. He was not practicing Satanism.
Bro, YouTube drama.
So
let's go.
That was not a detail that I expected to find. And where was I going with that initially? It was like, we knew it would be a divisive topic because obviously there are all types of different views on spirituality. There are atheists. There's a strong contingent of atheists on Reddit, as we all know, you know, like Euphoric.
Tip the fedora, bro, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, the atheists aren't going to mind if you start a little war between the demon worshippers and
Satan. No, the atheists don't like that detail. They think that undermines my credibility, that I brought that up at all. But so what I wanted to say is, like, here's the reason why I think it's relevant. Even if you believe that the stories in the Bible are allegorical and you don't really believe in an afterlife or anything like that, what I think that all of us can agree on is that there is evil in the world. And if J Station believes that he's aligned himself with evil, perhaps permanently through some sort of pact, then what will that do to the decisions that he makes? What is that going to do to the way that he views himself and his responsibilities to other people? If you believe that you are now aligned with evil, no matter what you want to do about it, like, you've signed a contract you can't get out of. If some part of you believes that, how will that affect the way that you carry yourself and act as an influencer? And so I think it's while it's not the main point that we're getting to, I think it's one thing in sort of a holistic, you know, a larger picture that explains some of the ways that he behaved.
I mean, I think it was important to the video, because your video, you're talking about what he did, but you're also trying to talk about who he is. Like, if you're really trying to hone in on the mind of J Station, you want to know, like, where it's coming
from.
This
is somebody that, like, lacks a complete, like, moral compass. And I'm not talking a moral compass that's, like, a religious, like, moral compass. I'm talking, like, just, like, hey, we know that there's, like, for instance, one of my things, like, don't scam your fans, right? So I think most people have that, right? But I get what you're saying. Like, yeah, if you go in with, just, like, evil, like, you're aligning yourself with that, maybe for you, yeah, it's like, who gives a fuck? I'm not just going to save the kids. I'm going to make sure I save the kids, but I'm going to do something evil. I'm going to make sure they're disabled, so it adds extra insult to injury when I scam them, you know? Like,
I think the fact that some part of him believes that he really did that, I think that is one explanation for how, like, his lack of a conscience in the impact that he had on people. We asked, we saw him. I don't know if you noticed, but, like, there is a clip in the beginning of the video where a kid is taking a pair of scissors and driving it into his temple. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. I did see that.
Yeah,
that's really creepy.
Yeah. That's about the limit of, I think, what we can reveal, because it just it shows someone doing something that is unsafe, right? And then we can't really go so far as to show the, like, children injuring themselves. That, I think, even in documentary context, that gets into a bit too much. Like, there was a kid who said, like, he was doing a ritual and he cut himself to get his DNA into the doll, and we showed, you know, like, you can show maybe that he was rubbing his hand on the doll, and you can show him saying that, but, like, you don't want to show the kid actually piercing his flesh with a knife, right?
Yes. Child endangerment.
Bro, was there any, like, obviously you can't show it, but did you actually find out of any person that actually really injured themselves?
Yes. Yeah. So we have to be careful how we discuss this, because the way that we talk about it could lead people to uncover the content. And I really don't think it needs to be, like, downloaded or played, because some of that is showing harm, and it could be used for all sorts of, malicious purposes. There is a lot of content that, all right. So when Daddy of Five, abused his children on video, when a channel like myself or let's say Philip DeFranco, someone who would show it in a responsible and documentary fashion, we're showing it in the context of, like, okay, here's something that happened. We think this is a problem, and maybe here's the solution to it, or in my case, I did not lead anyone down a path of, like, I didn't say that the kid should be taken away, although that was the result. I just sort of made people aware of the abuse. But there are other channels that took the footage, that same footage that we all found so disturbing, and remixed it into highlight reels and like comedic memes. That's really unfortunate, you know, like people who made light of it and they think it's funny. So I don't want to replicate a situation like that where, like, you know, we really debated what we put on screen, because it could, you know, it's like, how could this be memed in a way that would, in a way that would potentially lead these kids to be harassed, you know? So we tried to be, it was something that we really debated carefully, like what to do with that footage, because on the one hand, if, you know, every time that you talk about a creator who is targeting a child audience, and a lot of people come to mind when I say that, I imagine, when you say that about somebody, like, you're making videos for kids. I think H3 was the first person to really point that out. He was talking about how the kissing videos were made for kids, because he was trying to figure out, why would anyone watch this? He's like, this is not, like, it's not good enough for an adult.
You got parental controls, and that's on YouTube.
An adult would not want to watch this. They wouldn't be fascinated by the idea of, like, a stranger kid, and, like, to watch 20, like, an uncut.
I mean, I would have believed you until I found the TikTok pickup artist.
That's all children,
too,
though.
I feel like there's two genres that,
wait, that's on where?
The kissing pranks.
TikTok?
Yeah.
Well, that's a child audience, right?
PUAs and shit? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Is it like a gateway thing, right? For the kids and shit. That's kind of like the general way. Cause it's like cause you're right. No adult would want to see that, but it's like Caleb says, it's like, it's on TikTok.
So if you remember that period of time and the criticism that was happening at that time, you probably remember that a lot of people started to allege, like, oh, you're making content for kids. Like, you're clearly aiming this at kids. So then this defense arose where people would say, well, you can't prove that children are in the audience. You can't prove that he actually has a child audience. It's just such an easy thing for you to say, but you have no idea what his analytics are. And then oftentimes the creators would take a screenshot of their analytics, which you cannot trust this one analytic, right? Because, like, YouTube was even fined. They settled like a $250 million fine with the government in the U.S., over they were breaking the law they were storing advertising data on children or whatever. So
COPPA.
Yeah, so you can't, when they show what your viewer demographic is, no one, I don't really think you can believe, because, like, it doesn't show ages under 13, right? So there was no way to, like, they just don't even exist at all in your analytics, so there's no way to see that breakdown. But people would take a screenshot of that and say, well, look, I don't have any fucking viewers under 13 because this chart says I don't. So one reason I thought it was important to show that his viewership, like, to just show his viewership and have our viewers understand as they were looking at it, how old and, you know, the age, the gender, ethnicity, everything, like, who was in this demographic, who was watching this, to see a fair cross-section of everybody who watched it. You know, we showed some people on screen who were probably in their late teens, and we showed some people on screen who I think may have been 3, 4, you know. We wanted the viewers to be able to see that and come to their own visual conclusion on, okay, these are obviously JStation fans, because they're saying the exact words that he's just said, or they're saying his name, and this is what they look like, you know? So one thing that we tried to do throughout that video was not even say kids. And I don't think we say kids through the whole video. We just show, we refer to them as his audience. We say his viewers and his audience wherever we can. And, you know, so to put that on screen, I felt like it was important to really nail that this was indeed who was watching the content, who was replicating the content, and who believed the content. Because you can say, you know, as an adult, you see his videos and it's obviously incredibly fake looking. You know, it doesn't, none of us, I think no one above a certain age would watch those videos and think that even for a second that it was really happening.
That that this dude fisting a Muppet is, you know, something that's legit.
Yeah, like he's fucking, he's making out with fucking Kermit the Frog and shit, and it's like, no.
He from here.
Oh, so here, dude, he did an interview that, he did an interview yesterday. I mentioned one question where he basically confirmed that he did sell his soul, and he does fear the repercussions of it.
Wait.
He also admitted that he...
No,
I
mean,
That's what's
so wacky about this. The dude genuinely believes this shit. That's what was the biggest shock to me.
Now, what he... So, to be fair to him, what he claims right now is that he says he no longer believes in that, but at the time he did.
So then he does believe worry it. About you can't worry about the repercussions if you don't believe it.
So that's what he's...
Yeah, dude, you gotta believe that shit, yeah, 100%. Yeah. He believes in it.
I think that's what that confirms. So, he did confirm that.
Like,
but the other thing that
paranormal activities or some shit. Like, I'm gonna get fucking hooked by ghosts.
He believes his own videos. He watches them back and fucking shrieks in horror.
He has like Premiere Pro and he's like, oh yeah. No, maybe this. Oh my god.
I mean, you're laughing, but like he did spook himself as he filmed. Like when we talked to some of his co-hosts, they would get spooked as well.
I mean, it's like, it's kind of like a mantra meditation, you know? The whole idea of mantras are like you repeat something again and again and again until like cognitive dissonance makes you believe it. Like, you genuinely believe what you're mantra-ing. This dude's uploading daily content of fake paranormal activity, and I do think, to an extent, it almost became like a mantra, and he started, like, semi-believing it. Even if he's faking it, this regressive Neuralink-required mind is freaking believing what he's doing to an extent.
Yeah, there's no way you can upload daily videos of dark web gay Kermit for the Frog potions and not eventually at some point get gay with Kermit, dude. You know? Like, it's gonna happen.
Do you guys think he's neurodivergent?
Oh, I think he's hella neurodivergent. I mean, I would use a different word, but I don't want to get hit by the YouTube bot.
when we talked to Wesley, Wesley is the blonde, like sort of athletic looking dude that we had on screen. Wesley Killingsworth. Wesley Killingsworth said that there were a number of topics and concepts that Jay would come up with that he thought were, that he didn't want to do. He's like, because he does actually believe that there are some taboo topics that you know, like, you didn't want to disrespect.
Yeah, he would bring Stan Lee back from the dead because he could take him in a fight.
He didn't want to disrespect, like, Temptation XXX and...
No, he didn't want to... Those types of people. No, he didn't want to, like, fuck Mac Miller? No, not him, no.
No, okay, Wesley was more like, he just didn't want to summon a demon.
Oh, okay.
And one of the things that we show on screen is a box that contains a demon.
What the fuck?
Yeah, oh, Dybbuk box, Dybbuk boxes.
Yeah, Dybbuk box.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, they did a live stream that involved, like, you know, I don't know, I guess opening that or something. And that's something that like Wesley was uncomfortable with. So it is something that I, even in the course of filming, like, they took seriously and thought was kind of scary between the two of them.
That is so weird.
They actually believed it's like this is what's funny, like the shit that, because I remember the first time I watched a Dybbuk box video, I'm like, these motherfuckers believe anything. Like, I would have said, like, you know what I mean? Like, who gives a fuck? I'll open the box. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? But I mean, these guys are actually believing this shit, which is
like it really puts them in the mind.
Now I feel bad.
I mean, I don't.
Now I feel bad for them. Now I'm like, maybe they're just stupid. Like, really fucking stupid.
I have a hard time feeling bad for idiots. That's why when people say, "Don't you feel bad for like Ice Poseidon's audience?" I'm like, honestly, no.
Well, me, an empath, feels bad for neurodivergence. Okay.
Bro.
Wait, so one of the things I thought was interesting about that aspect of it is we spend like 45 minutes essentially mentioning, like, all right, look, this is, the content is fake, it's obviously fake to an adult, and the children believed it despite it being fake. And then in the end we showed that to Jay Station and to his co-hosts it wasn't. I think that's kind of an interesting twist on it. It was like it sort of defies your expectation. You're being led down this path of thinking it's all stupid horror content, and then you reveal in the end, well, in Jay Station's mind, it was real, but at least the spiritual aspects of it.
Well, right. Yeah, because we're laughing at it, but like he's like, no, oh shit, like, I don't want to summon mind got like a demon, like mega what the warped. Fuck?
Like it's crazy.
Well,
like,
if you were filming daily, because you also think about the cadence of his uploads. He was uploading nearly every day. So if every single night, you're chanting demonic phrases, like it probably does, as Wesley said, it probably does start to have an impact on.
That's true.
Does that happen to you, that's Caleb, when you daily upload? Do you ever have like a mannerism that's stuck with you? No, I mean like seriously.
I look in
like,
the mirror and I just see a fat guy.
No, like seriously, do you ever have like a mannerism that kicks in? Because like to me, when I do daily uploads, like a lot of the intros and outros that I do, like I shit you not, when I pick up a phone, like there's some times where I'm like, hello guys and gals, who need a phone? Like the guy's like, what the fuck? like I have the mannerism because like dude, like sometimes like it'll happen because like it's just autopilot for your head, you know what I mean? Like fucking I feel like that's kind of the thing because like when you do something for so long, especially when you're a daily uploader, it's like
okay,
oh, like he's doing satanic chants, like no shit, he probably okay. actually believes
like,
in them nowadays.
You're
like,
talking a phrase or whatever, you know, when someone in the airport says "have a safe flight" and you say "you too," and it's, then you feel like a dumbass because they're not flying.
Okay, yeah.
Like there are some phrases that just come out that way. It's very different believing in like this shit. Like that's a totally different level of immersion.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that kind of reminds me of something. So one of the things we had several researchers that helped us going through the content that was made by his viewership. So I do say in the beginning of the video that we watched like over 1,000 J Station videos, and that's true. Between all the people you see on camera, we did watch those personally. What we did get help with were all of the videos about J Station. So we also, if you count the production team, we watched all of that too. So every video that had ever been made directed to J Station or about J Station, we also watched that. So that added another something like 4,600 videos to our spreadsheet.
Oh my God.
I mean, and amongst
that content.
How the fuck
are you guys still alive after all that? Like, how the fuck are you alive after watching all that shit?
When it comes to, like, these big exposed type videos. Did you see this one dude made this big video on ZHC? The artist guy? An artist channel. Like, there's this artist channel with, like, 5 million subscribers that made these two, like, 30-minute long videos on ZHC where he actually watched every single ZHC video. And proof that he made all these fake giveaways, and he's like, whatever, I don't know. Like,
that's the only way I think that you should do it, because the trend had been it's really forever with commentary, has been that one person will notice that somebody has made a video that's just like gone too far. Like in Jake Paul's case, it was when he had a kissing contest and his dad kissed somebody and he also kissed them too. And everybody felt that was kind of weirdly incestual by proxy and they didn't like that. So somebody made a video about it, like let's say Pyrocynical. And then all of the people that are sort of downstream of Pyrocynical also made a video about that too. So it was like... I think the people who made a video about that, now these people aren't all downstream of Pyrocynical, so let me take that back. But I'll just say everyone who made a video about that included PewDiePie, H3H3, NoFuckers, you know, guys like that. They all honed in on that one video by Jake Paul, and they all, you know, confirmed that was weird to them and they didn't like it. But... like fucking Jake Paul was uploading every day, and so he was doing. If you actually watched it, I did. You found all of those other disturbing trends that were happening right like under everybody's nose. So if that does become a trend for a deep dive channel to watch all of the daily uploads of a YouTuber, I think that's good, because what happens is these channels that aren't afraid of scandal will. Just be putting out stuff constantly that's fucked up, and it would overwhelm anybody's ability to watch it all. So somebody really should be keeping track of some of that shit, because it's like, it'll hit the trending page and no one outside of their core fans who, you know, would accept it and not really make a stink about it even know.
I completely agree. And I do think that that will become like the meta for like a future Right Opinion channel. And I do think whoever actually does this will succeed, because it's a really, really great way to... That's what a Rise and Fall video should be, okay? Not this dumbass 20-minute, it all started when teams are and it's like, oh my god, okay, bro.
Yeah, no, I prefer the deep dive style of content, but that's also, like, incredibly fucking time-consuming. You're right, it really does fuck you up, because you have to, like, absorb all that content, you have to, like, fucking... It literally is.
You get in their mindset. So much of an overload. Really scary.
But it's true. Like, there's a lot of shit that does fly under the radar. Like, there's probably like 90% of like Nico Cotto's uploads. Like, nobody's ever watched.
That's another. You know? That's like, another good example. Yeah. Like, there'll be one video by him where the thumbnail or the mukbang is particularly outrageous, and it'll be covered by some T channels. But every day he's doing something that has bizarre. Questionable moments in it.
Yeah, dude. If especially like him beating his husband and like them like interacting with each other the way they interact with each other, and it's all
is
fake.
That what it is?
Yeah, Orlin. Yeah, if you watch 50 minutes of one of his 50 minute long videos,
they're
real fucking head scratchers, man.
Like, I mean, you're probably like unironically the biggest expert on Nico Cotto that I know, because you actually
unironically
more of his content than like anybody.
I'm trying
else.
To get him on the podcast. I think that he'd be a great, excellent guest.
I would like to.
He would be amazing.
The thing about him is like he's obviously playing a character, but it's like I think that's a really another example of like people who like daily upload and like they just. They've gotten off that end, you know what I mean? Like, he's
a great example.
He went to, like, think about it like this, right? Like, 2-3 years ago, he was this normal fucking vegan dude. Mm-hmm. And he's daily uploading these fucking mukbangs. Look at what's happened to him. Like,
I worry about him. I wish that I knew him so that I could, like, just sort of check in with him and see how he feels about what he's making. Because, I mean, no one I know, like, knows him personally. But when I look at what's happened to him and how quickly, you know, his health is obviously degrading quickly. He's making a joke about it. He's obviously aware of it. He's making it as funny as he can. But that's real. Like, he really is becoming.
He also sold his soul. Like, he sold his soul,
yeah,
soul to like get views. Eating
the I have a mutual with him, and he's totally according to this mutual. He's completely self-aware. And if you follow his Instagram and you look at his Instagram stories, he's eating fucking broccoli and he's like, he has a nutritionist. Like it's a truly a strange thing. You can tell there's a lot of cognitive dissonance like in his own life, especially because he appears to be a smart guy. He can play the violin. I'm not exactly sure if he went to an Ivy League school. I read that somewhere, something like that. He's a smart dude, right?
Yeah.
And he's a,
oh, well, what I wanted to say about him was, like, not so much that he doesn't, like, he's clearly self-aware because he brings out the comedy. Like, he's made up into almost like a Disney villain character, you know?
Look at all
like
those Las Vegas poor
like
people. Get him out of here.
Yes,
fuck
I was
poor.
About to say.
Yeah, look at those ants labor.
Clip of him. He's like, he looks out of his window and he's like, I like seeing the poor people struggle.
I love that.
Yeah, like he reminds me of like Ursula the Sea Witch.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Ursula too.
But what I'm concerned about is like, I wonder if he feels trapped algorithmically.
I think he
definitely does.
Oh yeah.
Because that's one of the things that when he says it's your fault to the camera, I think that that's a very deep and interesting catchphrase for him, because there's some true. Well, for a number of reasons. One is that is true. It is a bit of an implication on both YouTube's algorithm and the viewership. It's like, this is what you want me to do. So if you think that there's anything wrong with it, like the fact that you're watching is why I'm going to do it tomorrow. So that's very interesting for him to say that. Also, if the people who are watching are, I should say this delicately, because I'm not an expert on eating disorders or anything, but I know that there are some people, you know, if you listen to the reasoning that as some of them tell their story of it, they'll explain that they know that they're self-harming with food, and it's their way of basically punishing themselves for a dysfunctional relationship with their parents, for example. So if you imagine like an abusive parent, that might be something that a parent would say to them, right? Like, it's your fault. So I think that that's an interesting phrase for him to have landed on, because it probably hits home in a triggering way to some of his viewership who are perhaps prone to abusing themselves with food. So is he, you know, if you listen to him talking about the impact that he thinks he has on his viewership, he'll say, I'm saving people. And he goes, I have viewers who tell me that watching your videos was basically like fulfilled a craving for me, and I didn't have to eat. Like, I did not have to go abuse myself with food and eat, like, you know, fucking a mukbang size meal. And like,
he basically eats all that food too. That's fucking insane. Like, he'll order 20 fucking pizzas, and he will consume the 20 pizzas. Like, I've made it to some of the end of those mukbangs when he's eating the ramen packets. That's a lot of
food. He really is eating pounds and pounds of food. No doubt that he is actually doing it. But when he says that helps people, I'm not familiar with that mindset. Like, maybe that's true. But in my own case, like, when I watched Mad Men and he was drinking like old fashions, that made me want to have some fucking whiskey. You know, like, if I see a glass of a tasty alcoholic beverage, like, I go fucking buy a bottle of whiskey and I make myself an old fashioned. Like,
I'm gonna want some tasty alcoholic beverage.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think it's negative overall.
I have literally, like, when I watched when I watched one of his mukbangs, it literally caused me to go to a fast food restaurant and buy some of that food. I did eat what he ate that night. Now, I didn't eat as much. I just had one burger.
Yeah.
But he made me want a burger.
Exactly, dude.
So I don't think that there's really an argument for people that, like, I am eating vicariously through him. I don't think people are actually doing that.
Yeah, I'm not going to speak as if I know. I think that's an open question. It probably affects people in different ways.
You know?
Dude, thinking of Mika Kano, I want to get a fucking burger right now.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. I want to get a fucking burger.
Do you ever do Ramadan?
Me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, like, during the... It's 40 days?
Is that 30 days. Month.
During that month, do you want to see people eating?
I wouldn't say that it affects me. I have really good self-control on my eating. Like, I know some people are, like, they get really pissed off about it. Like, I know my brother he stays away from a lot of that shit because I think it triggers him, obviously, when he sees people eating. Like, yeah, it'll trigger me too, but I think I have better self-control in my eating habits than most of the people going through that. But
you're not going to feel full watching someone.
No, no, absolutely not. No.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say. You can't make the argument that doesn't fill me the fuck up.
Even if it's disgusting, it makes me hungry.
Yeah, in my experience, that's not how I feel when I watch someone eating either.
When I watch like Shoe Nice chug bottles of whiskey, like full bottles, like motherfucker be down in Everclear.
I can't relate to that.
I'd be like, you know, I could do with like maybe just this much of that whiskey, but like,
yeah,
like no, but you see, it's,
it doesn't make me drink an entire bottle of alcohol, but I probably would. Like, if I was watching Shoe Nice for an entire, like, say 20, 30 minutes where he's just like, you know, drinking booze, I probably would, you know, maybe I would day drink a little that day. It'd be tempting. I'd be like, ah, fuck it. Let's just get drunk. You know, like, I don't know. So,
well, because I think a lot of it is like, okay, I might be day drinking, but at least it ain't a whole fucking bottle of Everclear. You know, like, I'm not a total degenerate. Like, if you're comparing yourself.
Oh, yeah, certainly not. Yeah. So I guess if we're making that argument that it has a negative impact on people to the extent that they would replicate the dangerous behavior, like, none of us are saying that we might be triggered to have a taste of what they're having, but we don't then abuse it like like a mukbang.
Yeah.
Dude, but it is a thing, like, fucking, with the burger thing that you're talking about, like, Moonpie, like, yo, I definitely, like, fucking, I just put on some of his thumbnails, I'm like, dude, I'd want a juicy-ass fucking burger. Yeah, like, no, I look at that, it shit looks addicting.
And I don't overeat. I if anything, I undereat. And, like, when I watch his videos, or if I've done, like, stuff, I see the thumbnails, it genuinely does, like you said, man, it makes me want to eat what he's eating. It doesn't make me want to overeat and, you know, become morbidly obese and endanger my own health and become a pre-diabetic or whatever. But it does make me want to go to McDonald's, you know? And I don't ever want to go to McDonald's.
Well, maybe the difference is, like, I think we might be more likely to watch Report of the Week than Nikado Avocado, you know, like. Oh, yeah. Am I saying his name right?
Nico Cotto.
Nico Cotto Avocado. Nico Cotto. So, like, Report of the Week is eating a human, a normal human size.
Oh my God, I thought you said we're eating a human, and I was like, wait, there's content for that too?
There's a cannibalist content. Hell yeah. Good. Fuck.
I didn't realize there were cannibal content.
I'm going to write that down. I'm going to make a video on that.
Yo! On the dark web, guys.
I found human
we
meat
ordered
and
a
ate
human.
It on
A5 Wagyu human.
No, but like, yeah, no, I watched Report of the Week. You're right, absolutely. It's like fucking, here's like one order of chicken McNuggets. I'm going to eat this, and it's a normal piece.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not 50 fucking McNuggets at once, all right, with like a fucking gallon of sauce. But yeah.
And I think that people find that useful. It's like, oh, okay, you know, it's funny to hear him trash a new, like a promotional menu item from one of those
chains.
Yeah,
because it's more like a comedy, right? Like fucking, oh, here's like the fucking Travis Scott meal. Oh shit, it didn't fucking kill me. Not the actual Travis Scott experience.
My disappointment is immeasurable and my day is ruined. Like, he's that guy.
Like, guys,
But so who, like, I really don't understand. I don't understand why someone would want to watch him abusively eat like that. So I would just guess, prior, you know, my thesis would be, as I started to research this, if I were to make a video about him, I would try to figure out whether his viewers are prone to replicating the type of behavior
he
does.
Like,
whether
I like to watch them, though. This is the thing. I don't want to replicate it. I genuinely like fucking. I get kind of impressed when I see him eat the entire fucking gallon
of
ramen.
He fails. Yeah, so
yeah,
like
when he
always...
fails, I feel kind of bad. I'm like, dude, all that effort for nothing. But when he finishes it, dude, I feel like I crossed the marathon with him. I'm like, fuck, he went and did it.
I think a good example would be like, we all love our houses, right? But like, if it wasn't our house and there was no one hurt, obviously you'd be fine. If like it was morally okay, it'd be cool to watch your house burn down, right? Like, it's just a kind
what
of a cool
fuck,
show.
Bro?
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, it's entertaining. What? I'm not saying it'd be cool to fucking watch your house burn down. It would suck. But if there was no implication, it is purely a visual show.
I think that's that's, you're explaining why people voted for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, wrong podcast.
Basically.
I said this to Nikki in the lead up to that election. Nikki's
level.
Reminded me a few times of what I said that election night. She'd gotten back from the polls and we were talking about like, oh, what's going to happen tonight? You know, it was like, well, Hillary is probably going to win. That's what everybody expected. But there were some people that called that correctly. I remember some of the edgier people I followed were like, Sam Hyde, for instance, had put money on Donald Trump winning. Like, he sensed a undercurrent that was stronger than most people sensed. And he won, I think he won like, six figures off of betting that Donald Trump would win. That's just a side note.
Damn.
But so as we were talking about what's going to happen tonight,
the odds were that fucking against him.
I said to Nikki, and she's reminded me of this a few times. I said, you know, I think it's it probably. I would like to see what happens if Donald Trump is the president, but I would also like the ability to rewind.
When that happened, I was kind of like, because everyone was bitching about it for like. Fucking a year, you know, ever since it was gonna happen. And look, I'll fully admit it,
people are still bitching about
it, dude. I love watching the world burn. Okay, like when Cyberpunk 2077 came out and it was dog shit, you know how much of a fucking smile I had, like, despite waiting for that game to come out. I was like, oh my god, haul me anger on the internet. Yeah, but when Donald Trump got into office and like all my American friends are messaging me, it's like, I can't believe this happened, .. And I'm like Gerald from that South Park episode, like the troll. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm just living my life, having the fucking world's getting nuked around me. Fuck yeah. I was like, shit, I'm Canadian.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter
it
to me.
Race of personality that no one really knew what could happen. And, you know, a lot of people were afraid that he could, with that much power, like wipe out all humanity on the planet. So like, it felt like the stakes were high, you know, like that he could, because what we knew going into that was that when he has a feud with somebody, like we could see a lot of, there was a lot of precedent for for what how he reacts when you say something insulting about him. Like, he had fights with Rosie O'Donnell.
You're fired.
Right? And he went full, like, he would dock journalists. He would just go full bridge burning, complete destruction if you said anything bad about him.
That's so funny. Yeah, yeah, that was the best fucking
thing. That election, it was like, so people what happens when a foreign like politician gonna, you know, says something insulting about him? Like, really, it was not clear how far he would go. You know, so
right,
bro. That's like, what's Trudeau gonna do? Do blackface?
Like, yeah, like a third time. Fuck, that's not cool. Scared of it. Fucking, you go to like Trump or whatever. It's like you go to one of his rallies and like TikTok doesn't like, okay, show that it's bussing. He's like, I'm just gonna fucking ban the fucking app from the goddamn country. Executive order that shit. I'm like, what a fucking bat. It's like if Cartman became president. It's like, fucking, what did you say? Ban. Get out of here.
The whole thing is just cartoonish, dude.
Then
the
every thing- time he. Every time he would do something like that, he'd strut like, you know, the Jimmy Neutron.
Yeah, it was so funny because when I just started YouTube at that time and I was talking to all my friends that night, the night of the election in 2016. And they were all so like just so afraid. And I'm from the fucking woods. OK, yeah. Like legitimately from the fucking woods. So the people around me. Generally speaking, my neighbors, etc., were all like, yeah, I just like, he tells it how it is. And I'm like, yeah, it's not going to affect you. I mean, you live in a fucking trailer house on 45 acres in West Virginia. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
This 8 years could go by, and if there's no nukes dropping in D.C., you're going to be fine. You won't even fucking know.
Man, what did we say at the start of this podcast? It was like, you know, let's avoid politics. And then what are we doing now?
Yeah, but I don't even know if this is a politics discussion.
This is just funny.
We're just kind of like laughing at the fact that the guy, we had a guy in office that could literally fucking executive order an app out of existence. He's like, what? You talk shit about me? Get the fuck up out of here. Yeah. Dude, if he was still here now and like fucking Jack Dorsey said some shit on Twitter, he'd be like, fucking ban Twitter. I'm going to ban you on the grounds of your support. Like fucking some insane. I would love that. You know, it's like part of me loves watching the shit show. And it's like when you have like a regular politician like fucking Trudeau, it's like, dude, if we like, here's the thing. If Trudeau was like fucking Trump and like you called him out for being blackface, Trudeau would be like, so what? Who gives? Like, Trudeau would fucking, you know what I mean? He'd do, like, the non-politician thing. He wouldn't, like, try to swipe it under the rug or something or never acknowledge it. That's
the
thing.
You know, the I'll do it again.
Yeah.
Like,
fuck it, I'll do it. I don't go, the next election cycle, I'll dress up in fucking full blackface. It's like,
I think, go ahead.
No, like, I remember when, like, Trump had the whole, like, grab him by the pussy. When I first heard that clip, I was like, what? That's fucking insane.
Yeah, what? Wasn't he talking about his daughter?
No, that was another one. It's like, no, that was the one where it's like, you know, if my daughter, you know, if I date Ivanka, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
This motherfucker's
if
insane.
If she wasn't my daughter.
You said some wild things about her.
I thought the line was, if she wasn't my daughter, I'd grab her by the pussy.
No, he said that with Billy, the one fucking, the correspondent.
Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, in a, like a trailer. Whatever.
It was like locker room talk. They were just like fucking
locker room talk. I've never said anything like that.
Yeah, we never were like, nope. Hey Oompy, you know when you're real famous, they'll just let you grab him by the pussy, right?
Yeah, I'm super famous now.
Yeah, like they'll
all
just
these
let you do it.
Looking like dead Arnuki beasts.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I never would have expected the guy to win. So when the night came that he won, dude, that was the first time in my life that I watched an election map, and I was like, oh god, oh fuck yeah, please come on, dude, just bring same, the dude. Fucking anger, just be top of Reddit tomorrow, like fuck.
When Michigan and like the key battleground states went red, I was like, oh my
god.
Well,
why I like the 2020 election the most, because like no matter who would have won, Biden or Trump, you would have still had an equal amount of bitching from either side. You know, it's like 50-50 split down the middle. There was because the night that I slept, like I had my covers open. I was like dozing off. I'm like, when I wake up tomorrow, it's still going to be bitching. It's still going to be anger.
Nothing's going to be different.
Exactly. And I woke up.
There were some people that spent that entire period of time having what seemed like an extended like mental crisis about it, you know, like they the same way that we were saying, oh man, I wonder what could happen, but we have a trollish instinct and we just had a morbid curiosity about it and sort of nihilistic don't care view.
Some people were melting
there were
down.
Some people that I guess that concern also combined with the amount of like engagement and praise they would get for expressing it led them down a path of constantly, you know, what they called like the derangement over it, where they just, it became their personality that they were worried about that.
I just realized, like, I can't control much in my life, you know, like, aside from the things around me. So I don't even think a lot about the election. I'm like, even in Canada, I'm like, yeah, I get my, listen, I'm like a very small fucking, you know, tadpole in the grand scheme of things. I'm just going to live my life. And if the world bitches about the day after, I don't give a fuck, you know? It is what it is.
Like, well, you know, what's gonna really change the landscape of politics is when a YouTuber realizes that they have political power.
I think Logan Paul will run for president.
Probably become the mayor of their city or the governor.
Who do we think
state.
Is gonna be the first YouTube mayor? Or, like, fucking senator?
Well, I think the Paul brothers...
I'll vote.
That's true! He tried.
I'll
he
run for mayor, said, I live in a small town.
Right,
I'll run.
That's
I'll
like my,
we
my
had Joey Salads. Didn't Joey Salads almost fucking win something? No, he didn't almost win, sorry.
Right, so yeah. So far the only people who have only YouTubers who have made a serious bid for political office have been the ones that have serious skeletons in their closet and are relatively like thought of as they're thought of as kind of like
dumbasses. We can be yeah. nice here. Neurodivergence. Yeah,
wanna, yeah. Obviously not gonna win.
How is Joey gonna win when there's a literal video of him pissing into his mouth going, yeah, that's good. That's good.
What about the hot dog bit he did?
I don't know. Like, how the fuck was he ever gonna win? Like, I feel like now you're right. Like, I feel like Logan Paul will run for president, but, yeah. You know, it's not gonna go anywhere. It'd Same. Be more smart if he ran for, like, fucking mayor or something, or, like, just some small position.
I wouldn't say that it's gonna go nowhere. In fact, like, the lore about Nerd City is, like, I was a successful YouTuber in another dimension, and I'm here only
Dude.
To prevent the Paul brothers from becoming two-term
Don't
presidents back to back.
I don't see it as like such an improbable
What the fuck
future.
Would America look like if the fucking Pauls became president? What the fuck would that be? This motherfucker would go to Japan and suck off the prime minister. What the fuck? There's no
way.
No, he'd get into a fight with like someone in Russia and be like, you know what? Let's just box over this, okay? I'm going to fly down to the fucking Kremlin and I'm going to take you on, okay? I don't give a fuck.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I saw that. And there was another one. Zinc is like capital Z and capital I or some shit like that. On their fucking drink. They didn't even... being someone who knows about product, like, those things, before you sell them, by the FDA, you have to have a lawyer go and look at your product labeling and make sure that up to par.
Whoa,
and
okay.
There cannot be typos. It's not possible. I guarantee that they did not get a lawyer to look at their packaging, and the FDA is probably...
Are you talking about that energy drink, the KSI soon. And Logan?
Sure. Yes! Okay. Yes! It wasn't a meme!
Yeah, they misspelled the word ingredients.
No, that wasn't even like a meme. Like, you could go to the store and pick up...
Yeah, every single one.
Can you buy Prime in Canada?
But dude, I wanted to bring this up, though. This podcast, like, pretty much everything we've talked about is just like yet another example and more examples of, like, shared psychotic disorders being a thing that can, like an influencer. You can influence... like minor psychosis through
did.
Like videos and it like I don't know if you guys have ever done any research on like share how schizophrenia can be contagious, you know, like whenever a family member has schizophrenia you have a much higher chance of developing schizophrenia yourself regardless of like your mental chemistry. So that's what like what it reminded me of with Jay Station and his friends, how they like eventually kind of start to believe the lie that they're telling, you know. And then same thing with Nikocado Avocado. I mean, it's all like examples of just like micro level psychosis.
That is
and
the scariest thing I've ever heard.
There was
a
mass hysteria called the dancing plague.
It becomes a part of
their
personality.
It was like 100 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
They claim it's mass hysteria. It's people that
they
started dancing.
They still don't really know. They don't know what caused it.
They couldn't stop physically and they died of exhaustion. And it was like dozens of people. Like they were being fed while they were dancing because they couldn't stop dancing. And they couldn't sleep because they were dancing. And they literally all died of exhaustion.
Mm-hmm. So, and it happened so long ago that there's, you know, there's no... It happened in like...
Dude,
I think like
scary.
post-Enlightenment era or something, right? So
1518.
There's speculation about what it was, whether people were faking or whether it was some weird neurological disorder or parasitic thing, or whether it was contagious by
maybe
like you know, the social pressures of having other people you know starting to do that.
they're the trendsetters, the plague guys.
Mm-hmm. Trends, bro. The original cloud chasers.
Dude, what if that's gonna be like the
what do you mean
new
what
TikTok
if
trend for Caleb? Shut the fuck up. It's like the dancing plague
like
TikTok.
Last to die wins $1,000.
I can't stop.
Dancing till I die challenge.
1518 edition.
What the fuck?
Last to die wins a polio vaccine.
That fucking... yeah. God damn. No, I'm like looking into this really now. Scary. Apparently, it's like literally either food poisoning, like ergot or whatever, the same shit that was in the Salem witches. And then it's like a literal stress induced psychosis that apparently could have made a chorea.
Okay, but till you die.
I tell you what,
if
my father or something, and I was just like alone with my dad, and he just started
you
fucking
could just
dancing
because
he's high on drugs or something, I might
day
have started dancing, you know? Well, in the 1500s, there's not much. You have no, like, stimulus. Your only stimulus, like, if...
All right, so, like, what you wonder is, like, what mental state were the people in who were dancing? So, if you, like, could you talk to them and they could rationalize it? Would they explain to you why they were dancing? Or were they saying, like, I can't stop?
I mean, I got... No, it wasn't jovial.
Yeah, were they, like...
No, they...
Were
was
they,
it
like,
jovial?
Fucking
or was it just...
Yeah. Were they, like, scared like, for their like, life
they
while they're dancing?
While they were dancing. Like, they were crying. Fucking they wanted
lit,
to stop
bro
dancing.
What if it was like the best concert that never got like cataloged, and that's the reason they were dancing, you know?
Yeah, there was like a local band that just had a fucking banger.
Oh my god,
they had like jam band.
They had like the original incarnation of Travis Scott running a fucking concert out there, and just like that's it.
It was the OG Grateful Dead playing a 45-minute fucking solo.
It's just OG Astro World, and that's what happened to the fucking
yeah
guy.
What were they dancing to? Because it was pre-technology, so like was there a band that had a dance like a musical plague that would not stop playing the music?
Or well, I assume they must have had like someone motherfucker with a violin just going ham, you know?
Because it's not easy to dance with no soundtrack, right? Like that's strange.
And also the dancing back then too was probably God fucking wacky. They didn't invent cool dancing until, like, the
that's
fucking...
That's the Mudahar
like,
laugh!
80,
I've never
bro
seen that live! You just did the meme!
Yeah.
Oh my
that was
God
perfect. I'm so
oh
glad I got
so
to
fun
see that live.
So
of all the times I've talked to you, I've never seen... You're even at the exact same angle as the meme.
Oh my yeah God.
That's great.
True, I'm just thinking about the dancing baby. It's like, there's so many things that don't make any sense anymore. Now I look at it. Because they got no fucking music. They got no dance moves. I'm actually believing this may never have fucking happened, actually. Maybe
yeah
maybe
it's, no, it's documented. Like, it's documented by physicians and by... You know, I guess like madhouses and professionals, like there's a record of this. There's death records.
That's true.
To be fair,
it was pre-contagion.
Then,
they didn't believe in
physicians. It was pre-germ.
Like 1900s.
Pre-germ.
Yeah.
Didn't know a lot about much back then. So
they were draining your blood and drilling
that's
holes
it's
in
so
your head.
Difficult.
To
my
let
grandfather's
out
like 95.
Like
yes.
That,
and he's like, catch COVID.
Bloodletting.
And we're like, okay, dude, please don't go outside. He's 95, not 500.
Ask him if he remembers the dancing plague.
No, what if he's
father,
like,
do you remember the great dancing plague?
So, oh, yeah, they taught that shit
he'd
in school
like, yeah, the
back
Fox
in the
trot
day. Fuck. Told us.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is fucking oh wild. Funny. Yeah, no, they said music was typically played during the outbreak.
Well, why didn't
so they
stop?
Had
like,
music.
It's like they're killing people. Quit playing.
Yeah, just stop the band.
Well, no,
yeah,
no, I think
you're
they
fucking
could
killing
listen,
them
they couldn't stop dancing, so at least that, you made their death a little more tolerable, right? Like, what the fuck?
That adds a whole nother twist to it, because if there was a band playing, then it sounds like the people who were dancing were rational and were probably incentivizing them to keep playing. So you probably had people who were like, do not fucking stop. Like, I will pay you to keep playing. I need you to keep playing. Like, yeah, that must have been like, they must have been still in their heads wanting to keep dancing.
Yeah.
What do you think? Whatever that fucking music was, dude, we needed to figure that out.
That is where they came up with the radio,
and it would just become
a number one. That might be a fucking mind virus. Talking about mind viruses.
It's like the brown noise.
The first
four
chord song was played.
It's like the brown noise, the noise that makes you shit your fucking pants. This is the noise that makes you dance till you're dead.
Well, dude, did you ever read Snow Crash?
When I was a kid,
I feel like you would like that book. That's the book where I think the metaverse came from. It's about essentially the metaverse and people who are living inside of a simulated reality, if I recall. And it talks about language and how there's a core, and there is some actual like scientific basis for this. There's some theoretical basis for this, that there's a core components to the languages, even as diverse as they are, like that they come from like the certain particular sounds and I don't know, consonants or whatever are like hardwired into our, you know, the software of our brain. So they, in this book, there's like, you can give someone a virus in their brain off of like whispering something in their ear or, playing. I forget how it's delivered, but I remember that it's like there's an auditory trigger that can essentially, you lose control of your mind. So maybe that music was a mind virus. Like maybe it was something that was just hard coded in where you couldn't stop dancing when you heard that song.
Just literally the brown note, but with dancing.
It's like way more fucking like just way dangerous. That's some dangerous shit.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't figure out what that song is.
maybe we already have. Maybe that's like fucking what Mark Zuckerberg's aiming to do. Bring us all into the Oculus Quest and dance us to fucking death in a shit.
I mean, obviously it was Get Lucky by Pharrell. Like that was the song. The song of the summer, as Lemmy says.
Travis Scott's going to listen to this podcast and in his follow-up apology video, he's going to say, I literally couldn't stop, guys. I literally couldn't stop.
It's like that,
dude, that was a fucking dancing hysteria, too. People died dancing.
Well,
at,
crushing. The people around them could not stop responding to the stimulus from the concert to the point where they were murdering the people around them.
Yeah, they call that dance the New York subway.
Oh, no. Well, speaking of it, we went through so many topics on this podcast. We went through like J Station to his satanic love and religious practices, allegedly. I don't want to get sued by J Station or anything. You know, you might be a Jesus worshiper for all I know. We did go political, but I think we went political in the way that every podcast should go.
Agreed.
Which is basically just laugh at the fact that
fun of politics is not political content, okay?
It's just hilarious. Yeah. Like, we're all tadpoles in the grand scheme of things.
There's just another toxic fan base, you know?
Of course, you know. It's a sports game these days when it comes to that shit. Not frankly, don't have any parts.
I hate politics as an interest. I think that became too many people's
hobby.
Oh,
you go on Twitter, everyone's a fucking political expert. Twitter? Everyone's...
That has not been good for the world.
Thank you all for watching, ladies and gentlemen. This is me, Oompy, Nux, and our good old friend Nerd City signing off.
And Mudahar, if I want to find out where the fuck you live, I'll do it today, bro. You fucking fool.
Knock his teeth
in. Fucking dirty ass fool.
And I am fucked every way you can think of. We are out.